And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard, episode number 133. My name is Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, where it is freezing out. Literally, it's below freezing outside, and there was a little bit of snow falling last time I looked out the window. We had a white Christmas after all. Hope everybody had a great holiday. And, of course, this is posting on January 2nd, so happy 2014, everybody. Yeah, my plans right now are kind of in flux, but I might be going somewhere and I might not be. It just kind of depends. By now, you should all be over your hangovers and ready for the show. Don't have a lot to talk about here in the beginning. There's not a lot of news or anything to announce. So let's just go ahead and move along with our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar.
So this week brings us Thor number 162. Has a cover date of March 1969, retailed for 12 cents. Cover art is by Jack Kirby and Vinnie Coletta. Looks like really nice coloring job on this, too. Looks like probably George Russo's or one of the production team. I really wish that they would give the details of the colorist, but there's a really nice coloring here that shows like reflections in the floor. It looks almost like an airbrush effect, and it looks really good. Anyway, the foreground, we see Thor, and behind him we see Hogan, Fandral, Volstagg, and some nondescript other Asgardians. We also see the hand of Odin, and he's shooting his scepter, like a beam coming out of his scepter, and it looks like he's trying to shoot Galactus, who's trying to come in through the window, though that's not quite what's going on. We'll find out what happens actually inside the issue. And the cover blurb says, Galactus Abornin. And we open up to the splash page where we have the credits. Stan Lee, Jack Kirby produced this. Vince Coletta was the inker embellisher. And Sam Rosen was the letterer. The title of the story, Galactus is Born. Maybe this should have been last week. So. And we see a very oddly shadowed Thor and the recorder. They say oddly shadowed because the light source is from behind them. So they, you know, their faces are in shadow and the whole front of them are in shadow, but we're looking at their front. So it's an interesting effect, but I don't know if it really works for me. Anyway, so Thor saying, the deed is done. We must now be homeward bound. Deduction, the way planet has been spared. The dreaded Galactus is still at large. Conclusion, the universe is still in greatest peril. And there's a little bit of narration here. Having saved the living planet Ego from the deadly attack of Galactus, both the Thunder God and the human form computerized recorder are swiftly hurled spaceward towards Rigel Galaxy by the profoundly grateful Ego. So basically, Ego spit him out like a watermelon seed. Ba-doo! And now, believer, be thou prepared for another double-page Kirby space-orama, such as thine merely mortal eyes have never beheld. But before we look at the space-orama, I wanted to point something out here, and that is, remember when Thor's ship got destroyed and he and the recorder were cast out into space and were dying because they were out in space? What's protecting them now? Anyway, we then turn the page. We have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful photo collage here. This is one of Kirby's classic photo collages. We have these big planets, and we see it looks like Pluto, and we see it looks like Earth sitting there. Yeah, that's like Asia, Southeast Asia. So that's Earth and Saturn, and looks like one of the moons of Jupiter. And our moon, And we also have this Space Hardware. Looks like he kind of took bits and pieces from different pictures of Space Hardware and mimeographed or whatever and stuck them on here. So it's not like any real things here. It's like cobbled together like machines. So there's all these satellites and there's all these big moons and stuff. And we have the recorder and Thor flying by. And Thor saying, "Once again, mine eyes perceive why Rigel hath never been successfully attacked. Thine ever-orbiting satellites of defense seem truly endless in their number." Indeed they do. Crowded, even. We then turn to the next page, and we have a giant purple city space station sort of thing here. And it actually says it's a gleaming multi-purpose space station poised above the heart of Rigel that seems to draw them to its center. Thor's saying, "We have reached our journey's end. All of Rigel now awaits us." And Thor, of course, has to speak the obvious. "So let us land, for thou must relate what hath transpired." And the two of them land on the space station, and who should be there? But, one of the... I thought it was Tan and Aiel, but I guess it's not. It's just one of the other colonizers here. And the recorder says, "Memory circuits activated. Replay cycle fully operational. Take me to the High Commissioner."
"It shall be done, recorder."
And we then have a full-page shot here of the High Commissioner and standing next to him, Tan and Aiel in her magenta armor. And I have to say, he has a really, really fancy hat, a lot fancier than anything we've seen on him before. It looks like it has like an Asgardian motif to it, though, which is really weird. Because, I mean, you kind of expect Odin to wear a hat that has like this big face with wings on either side, but you don't really expect that of this, alien dude with a big head. And so it did seem a little odd. And it looks like an Avengers Quinjet behind him in the sky, and it looks like it has the number 4 on it. Maybe the Fantastic Four's pogo plane and sitting in beside him. So the Lord High Commissioner saying,
"You've done great service to the world of Rigel. As High Commissioner and Imperial Colonizer Emeritus, I laud you for your strength. I honor you for your valor. Now step you forth, Recorder, for there is much I must learn. Prepare your memory bank for official removal. Colonizer Niall has been selected to prepare the transcript. Now, with your mission done, prepare for deactivation."
And he reaches out to press a button on the recorder's belly, which that seems it would make him way too easy to turn him off. But Thor stops him, grabs his arm, and says, "By the gates of Asgard, Thor bids thee hold. Thou canst not callously discard so noble an ally."
"Prince of Asgard, have you so soon forgotten? He has been your ally, but is a most complex machine. 'Twas we who created him."
"With all respect, Thor says thee nay. Thou didst but shape his form, then didst implant a heart, even as human surgeons do on the far-off planet Earth. But who can say from whence comes the breath of life? And surely as night doth follow day, he who is called Recorder doth feel, doth love, and therefore doth possess that which men call soul."
Yeah, Recorder has a lot of soul. Soul train. Anyway, the words of Thor have wisdom. Recorder, you shall live.
Now, I don't get why taking his memory out would actually kill him. I mean, it would be just like taking a cassette tape out of a cassette recorder. I mean, it's not like they would destroy him. You wouldn't think that whatever the recording medium is that the colonizers would use would also be his operating system. You would guess they'd just pop a new cassette in and he'd be good to go. I mean, that's the way I think about it anyway. So anyway, Thor is taking his leave and he's saying goodbye to everybody. Tan and Aiel gives him a kiss on the cheek and says,
"Son of Odin, ere I depart, I must tell you this. Once in the half-forgotten past, you and I had met as foes. But now the lips of Tan and Aiel proclaim that mighty Thor is the noblest one of all."
"Thou do me honor, lady, and I be justly proud. But now 'tis time to take my leave. Let one and all stand back."
And he steps back from the crowd here, and he starts whirling his hammer around.
"Where Thor must go, he goes alone. No ship that flies may reach there, though apparently the recorder can fly there. Only mystic spell will serve, or the power of mine enchanted hammer."
And Thor's spinning around Ajax White Tornado. And he vanishes. And we get to see something we've never seen before, which is actually really cool. We get to see the view from inside the Ajax White Tornado as Thor's vortex is whirling around him and the colonizer's world disappears. And all of a sudden, he's standing right in front of Heimdall. And it's like he's materializing right in front of Heimdall. It's like, wah! Thor says, now all is gone. Whilst not, but Thor remains. Meanwhile, back on the colonizer's planet, they're turning off the recorder. Deeper grows the spinning vortex. As closer I come to fabled Asgard. And Heimdall is standing in front of him. It says, who treads upon the rainbow bridge? Pray sheathe thy sword, brave Heimdall. Tis I, the god of thunder. And Heimdall's all happy to see him. Pass thee then, my prince. Thy most sovereign sire awaits thy coming. Tis well, for there be much I would relate. And before he can move, he gets scooped up from behind by Fandral, who kind of throws him on the back of his horse, and Hogan is there as well. And limping behind on a tottering horse is the voluminous Volstagg. No need for words. All-wise Odin doth know what hath transpired. Fandral, wilt thou take me hence? Up then, Thor, let us away. Our hearts rejoice. Our comrade is returned. Still stands the realm, for all be well.
Wait thou for valiant Volstagg. I must needs hold my charger back, lest he trample all in sundry.
And you can see the poor horse is straining under Volstagg. And the three of them are, or the four of them really, four of them on three horses, are riding towards the big gates of Asgard. We see this huge city, of course, you know, Kirby sci-fi Asgard and big gate opening up. And we get a little bit of narration. But even as the colorful horsemen reach the legendary golden gates, a nagging thought assails the mighty Thor. And we have a couple of the people thinking here. Hogan is thinking to himself, the thunder god doth seem beset with worry, though grim Hogan can perceive no cause. And Thor is thinking, why cannot I free myself from this feeling of unease? The wall seems well, still do I sense danger in the very air. And the only one talking here is Volstagg.
The gates swing open! The trumpets blare to herald the approach of a luminous Volstagg.
And Thor is asking, and what of the noble one, who is like brother to us all?
Of late, brave Baldur hath not joined us in our revels. A mood of melancholy doth seem upon him. In truth, it be most passing strange.
I must seek gentle Baldur and learn what is amiss. But first, Odin doth await within the Astro Chamber.
And you know that Kirby named that. So the Warriors 3 and Thor, they are approaching the Astro Chamber, and they're approached by a member of the Ku Klux Klan. Well, that's how he's dressed. Actually, he's dressed a little bit like the Hate Monger, which I guess he was kind of dressed like a Ku Klux Klan member. It's this guy in a blue Klan robe, and he says,
I bid thee, noble lord, stand fast. Heed thee now the words of Torger. For I be cosmic counselor to the realm.
So this is the first appearance of Torger, who went on to become a very popular character, got his own series and all that stuff. No, he didn't.
At the command of thine imperial father, I have scanned the cosmos, observing the battle with Galactus. For since thy planet-shattering foe still lives, the danger is ever present. Thus we must learn from whence he comes. And so must we fathom why.
And he waves his hand, and a big, huge cosmic voyeuroscope blares into life.
First I set in motion the spatial screen. And now, if Odin grant me leave...
There's a bunch of guardsmen here, and they start tooting on horns, and... You know, boop, boop, boop.
Be silent, all! The living omnipotence doth now approach...
And we get a full-page shot of Odin in a really elaborate armor. Huge-ass headdress that reminds me a little bit of... And just in the style and in the colors, it reminds me of Mangog. So Odin is wearing a Mangog hat.
I say thee welcome, and most especially him who be flesh of Odin's flesh, blood of Odin's blood. Thou hast fared well in thy battle against Galactus. But know ye this, most noble son, the battle be not ended.
Dun, dun, dun. And we see the Warriors Three and Thor bowing to Odin.
He says, now rise ye all, for there be much that we must view, and so shall we do together.
We hear and obey, says the Thor. Oh, wait, no, that's not a Dalek. Thor says, we hear and obey.
I say thee, Torger, illumine the spatial screen. I wouldst fain gaze once more upon the power of Galactus.
So the Warriors Three and Thor watch TV with Odin, and we get a little bit of an origin for Galactus here.
There, in yonder distant galaxy, a force bolt shatters half a world.
And we see force bolt coming out, shattering half a world. Lots of Kirby crackle, 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 crackle.
Behold how the attacker's weapon sweeps the distant skies for yet another victim.
And we see Galactus' ship here, and I guess that's the area where he stands. And we, you know, we're looking at the world here that Galactus is kind of blasted apart with his ray, and there's all these ships flying away from it, which seems odd that they would have actually survived. Maybe they were already taken off.
Now begins the Holocaust. Survivors flee, they know not where, whilst Galactus decimates worlds at will. Then stands he forth that he may feed upon the energy which naught but a ravaged planet can provide.
And we see Galactus standing out on his little platform, and there's, you know, magenta and red, like lightning and Kirby crackle scattering around him. Nice, nice panel that.
Such is him who is Galactus.
And you get a like full shot of Galactus's face. And then Odin's finished. He says,
now let yon image fade.
As thou command, omnipotent, says Torger.
Thou hast done well, wise Torger.
Yeah, all Torger did was actually, you know, flip the channels on his little channel changer.
But now 'tis time to view the past, for there methinks an answer lies. Thus let my power scepter capture time, and bend it so from now to then.
The light grows dim, then bright again.
And Odin is shooting his scepter at the screen. This is kind of like what we saw on the cover here. And this sort of wavy green and yellow beam is hitting the screen, and we're seeing, I guess, events that happened in the past.
Galactus hath vanished, and in his place a planet spins.
And it's actually just like this big old rock. It doesn't look anything like a real planet.
Look ye well upon yon dead world. 'Twas here that he first struck. But now 'tis cold and lifeless, but 'twas not ever so. Nay, 'twas a world most wondrous till the dread Galactus struck.
And there's like, it hath seeming of Ragnarok itself, but 'twas the land that gave him birth. Why did he then destroy it?
Behold, says Fandral, the power scepter brings the planet closer. 'Tis a sight to chill the blood.
And we see that this, you know, far from a dead planet, this said once had a big civilization on it. We see the remains of the civilization, these huge machines and huge buildings, and they're all falling apart and dead and ruined. And we get a little bit of narration here.
There before the startled eyes of the immortal assemblage, a city comes into view. A city which had been so advanced, so magnificent, that not even Galactus had been able to eliminate every last vestige. But despite the ruined glory of what it was, it now lies dead, a crumpled mass of nothingness. And so has it lain for ages. Then suddenly, shattering the stunned silence, the booming voice of Odin rings out once more.
This be the danger. Eternal Asgard ne'er must suffer such a fate. Now must we learn the awesome reason why. Let time fall back further still. I will behold Galactus's birth.
And he shoots another green ray at the screen, and we're watching like a Star Wars type scene here. There's a bunch of spaceships flying around, shooting at each other, dudes in armor, and then we see the cube that Galactus rides around, and it's sitting in some sort of a blue Kirby machine looking thing. And we get a narration here from Fandral.
I see an era of great space wars, mighty galaxies battling unto death.
But finally the strongest armada doth prevail, and with an entire sector thus enslaved, they do prepare for their final conquest. But orbiting high above their target world, they spy a strange dread object. An incubus cell, the type that contains a fearsome newborn life form. It may have been in orbit for untold ages.
No matter what it contains, we must destroy it.
And they're all going after it. But before the conquering fleet can fire, a desperate command is issued from the hapless world below.
Unlock the fateful incubus cell. Whatever it may contain cannot harm us as much as the fleet overhead.
How do they know how to open it? I don't know. Just a question. So they, I guess they press the open the door button. And we said, done slowly, ominously, the great cube opens, revealing for the first time its awesome occupant. Awesome, dude. And, of course, that awesome occupant is Galactus, wearing shorts and short sleeves. And he's saying, my incubation period has ended. Galactus lives! And he just kind of sweeps this entire space fleet with a ray and destroys everything. And all the ships are all shattered in space.
For untold ages I have felt the ravenous pangs of burning hunger. But now Galactus shall feast. I must consume living energy or perish.
And we see Galactus absorbing energy, and he's all surrounded by magenta and red Kirby crackle.
It's like, more! I must have more!
And he's draining the planet of its energy, and all the people are, you know, like, burning up, and they see the cities in flames, which I don't know why that would happen. But anyway, because he's draining energy. He's not, like, shooting them with fire.
I know not who or what they are below. I only know Galactus must live!
And he's fed on the planet, and now he's just going to move on. He says,
now I must seek other worlds so that I may thrive, for Galactus must be true to his unfathomable destiny.
And with that, Odin's had enough, and he puts his scepter down, and...
I have viewed enough.
Yeah.
Odin hath seen and heard and learned.
The mystery remaineth, says Thor, but one thing is most passing clear. Galactus hath power to rival thine own.
Thou speakest with the tongue of youth. But no matter. What is to be will be. Que sera, sera.
And he leaves, and Thor's like,
our liege departs.
One day, methinks, 'twill be our fate to face Galactus. Then shall he feel the might of Asgard.
Would that our prowess can match thy words, says Hogan.
And Volstagg is going to wander off and eat something. He's like,
if dire battle threatens, Volstagg must prepare. 'Tis time for us to sup. Ne'er has battle been won on empty stomachs.
And ne'er within mortal memory hath stomach such as thine been empty, says Fandral. Come, noble prince, let us join the rotund one in tasty repast.
Not yet, dashing Fandral, says Thor.
I wouldst fain have words with Baldur, whose absence doth puzzle me sorely.
Yeah, you and me both, dude.
Stay, son of Odin. Not yet hath Torger done with thee.
How speakest thee, wise counselor? Thou hast a troubled mane.
Galactus still is far away, but another threat looms closer. Attend thee now my words. I have sensed great danger from the planet Earth, and in thine absence the goddess Sif didst tie herself thither to learn the cause. But not from her have we heard, save ominous silence.
And we then shift scenes, and we are in the bedroom of none other than Baldur the Brave, who is wearing his pixie boots and his underwear, and he's sitting around in his bed, and he's got that, like, sword and shield hanging up on the wall.
I cannot find surcease in slumber. The very quiet doth deafen mine ears. Each beat of my heart cries over, Carnilla, Carnilla, Carnilla! Wherever I turn, I see thy face. What sinister spell hast thou woven? What madness doth envelop me? Lady, begone, I pray thee! What a monstrous jest! The Baldur, most loyal of all, should lose his heart to the merciless Queen of the Norns, to her who is the enemy sworn of eternal Asgard. It cannot be. It must not be. It shall not be. Only in combat shall Baldur find the forgetfulness he craves. So let me seek the Prince of Battle, the God of Thunder, Thor.
And apparently Thor has forgotten all about going to see Baldur because he's on his way to Earth. I guess Sif is just more important to him than Baldur. I suppose that makes sense. And he's flying towards Earth in a way that's very un-Thor-like. He's actually flying like Superman towards Earth. And says,
If dire jeopardy doth stalk the stunning Sif, then must Thor stand by her side. No matter what the danger be, she shall not face it alone. And he's arriving down on Earth, and next issue, blurb, what on Earth? And that is Thor number 162. We are going to have a little bit more to say about this, but we'll be getting to that right after this.
Hey, Kids Comics!
Hey, Michael!
Yeah?
We need to do a new promo.
A new one?
A new one.
Why?
Because we've moved.
Moved?
We've moved to a new place. We still read comics.
We do, we still talk about comics.
Because you can't do a comic book podcast unless you read and talk about comics, because that's kind of stupid. But now, we have a new episode still available every Thursday, but at twotruefreaks.libsyn.com.
Hey Kids Comics!
So remember, Hey Kids Comics has moved to twotruefreaks.libsyn.com. Still, every Thursday. That'll do, won't it?
Incidentally, this issue, because I forgot to mention it, has been reprinted in a couple of different places. First of all, in Marvel Masterworks Thor Volume 7, and also in The Essential Thor Volume 3. Pick them up at a comic shop near you. So, of course, I have a few comments on the issue. I liked the issue. I think it was a really strong issue as far as the story goes. Some of the dialogue is a little bit clunky, and some of it is very clearly, once again, written by Jack Kirby as opposed to Stan. I see a lot of Stan in the captions and some of the, you know, explanatory text that we get, the exposition. I see a lot of Stan in that, and I see a lot of Jack in the dialogue, the story dialogue. I know that Jack certainly had a lot of input as far as the plotting goes, and even probably as far as the dialoguing goes. But I wish it wasn't quite so jarring when you kind of switch between Stan's more verbose style and Jack's more bombastic style. That seems to be the big difference for me. And it's especially noticeable in some of these issues as we go on. There's still some really, really good collaborative work coming, but it seems at this point that Jack is starting to chafe a little bit. And we're getting a little bit of him wanting to come up with his own ideas and get credit for his own ideas. And it's seldom really obvious in the context of a story, but I think it's really obvious here. This issue is also, I guess, important because we get the initial origin of Galactus. I would have thought that they would give the origin of Galactus in a book that was more identified with Galactus, say the Fantastic Four, but it's interesting, you know, the Galactus is, I guess, just as much identified with Thor as it is with anyone else. It's a cosmic character, Thor's a cosmic character, and therefore there's that connection. And especially as the Marvel Universe developed, you get a little bit, I guess, more of a Thor connection than not. If you remember some time ago, we had that What If episode where we had What If Thor was the Herald of Galactus. So obviously there's a strong connection between these two characters. Now, we're going to get a much more complete origin of Galactus about 7 issues down the road, therefore about 7 episodes of the show down the road, with Thor number 169. And, you know, the return of Galactus here. So Galactus is going to be sticking around in the Thor book, at least for the foreseeable future. And we're going to be getting then to the first Thor physical issue that I actually own, the original issue of, yeah, Thor number 168. That's going to be fun. Anyway, so other thoughts about the issue. Artwork generally pretty good. Even the inking is pretty good. I like what they're doing. There's obviously some experimentation going on as far as Vinnie Coletta's inking. I see that he's trying to use shadows more effectively. One of the criticisms that I've always had of Coletta's work is that he doesn't work with solid areas of black very well. He has a very sort of sketchy ink style and with a lot of fine lines. And that's okay, but I think that Kirby's work works best when you have heavy shadows and you have heavy blacks. I don't know that it works as well on the splash page here where we have the recorder and Thor flying through space and you really can't see their faces because they're just kind of swathed in shadow. But of course, we do get also a Kirby collage, which is cool in its own right. I love the scene on page 8 where we actually see the inside of the Ajax White Tornado and this whole teleportation using the hammer from Thor's point of view. It's cool, and it's the first time we've seen anything like that. And I think that that's one of those things that actually makes the issue. I think that, you know, we have this sudden transition between outer space adventure with, you know, Tana Nile and the recorder and the old high commissioner dude, you know, all these people with the big heads. And then almost immediately, in the space of two pages, we are bang in the middle of the Warriors Three and off on the next adventure. That is such an energetic transition and so typical of Marvel in the 60s that, you know, this is the Marvel age of comics. This is why Marvel was blowing DC out of the water in 1969 with some of this stuff. And, you know, it can seem like a lot all at once, but, you know, when you look at the, you know, Superman comics from the same era, and they seem almost sedate in comparison. And I really don't like to say, you know, of Marvel and DC that one is better than the other, only that particular books are better than others, because they're very, very different. And I think that's why Marvel was able to carve out this unique niche that they have. And undoubtedly, some of their work was certainly better than DC at the time, but DC had some good stuff too. You can't forget. This Torger guy, he looks like trouble to me. What do you think? He's dressed like a Klansman. I almost, like I said, dressed like the hate monger. I'm going to be keeping an eye on this guy because we've never seen him before. And all of a sudden he's being mentioned by name and he's Odin's, you know, most faithful advisor. And you kind of would wonder why the rest of the people say, who the hell are you? I guess they don't want to question Odin. I mean, he is the Allfather after all, but, you know, what do they know? The portrayal of Odin in this picture on page 11 is really interesting. I did mention he has this really big elaborate headdress on that reminds me a little bit of Mangog. But he also has this weird metal thing coming down over his beard. It's like a beard guard, like he's afraid somebody's going to run up with a pair of scissors and start chopping at his beard. or somebody's going to slash his beard in half with their sword. I can't imagine. I mean, it looks very cool, and I'm sure that's really all that Jack Kirby had in mind. But the practicality of wearing a helmet like this just seems to me to be a little bit odd. Yeah, but you can never be too protective of your beard, folks. That's all I can say. We get a great shot here, full page spread here, page 15, of the destroyed city down on the planet that they found the Incuba cube orbiting. And this is Kirby at his best. This is just a, you know, such an amazing imaginative ruin. At the same time, it's plausible. It looks like it could have been a city that has been ruined. It's not the sort of fantasy construct. It actually looks like it was a functioning city that got destroyed. Great stuff here. I find the whole Galactus's short sleeves, long sleeves, short pants, long pants thing to be really, really annoying. This is one of my problems with the early appearances of Galactus. I don't like the short pants look on Galactus. I like the, you know, him being completely covered except for his, you know, mouth area, kind of the classic version of the character. But at this point, you have to remember Galactus had not appeared a lot of times, and they're still establishing bits about his character, including his origin. Interesting, this obsession that Baldur has developed with Carnilla. And as we all know, this continues, you know, years and years later. It kind of makes out Baldur to be kind of neurotic, if not psychopathic. I mean, I understand the whole, you know, infatuation thing. I've been through it myself. But you know, Baldur in this is an even bigger drama queen than the Silver Surfer. And that is saying something. All right, so with that, I think it's about time to wrap it up, folks. Don't forget, we're going to be at C2E2 in April. And if you have any interest in that, go to c2e2.com. You can check out the guest list, the people who've confirmed. It's still a bit early in the process. They still haven't confirmed a lot of people. But I know that as the time goes on, and especially as we start getting through January and February, we're going to start seeing a slew of guests confirming, and it promises to be a fantastic show. And of course, Radio Free Asgard is going to be there at C2E2. So I hope that when you come to C2E2, you'll come around and say hello. Also, if you want to contact the show, please feel free to do so. We have an email address, which is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. And you can also find us on Facebook, the Radio Free Asgard Facebook group. So with that, it's back over the Rainbow Bridge and back to Midgard. And we'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard. Happy New Year! Radio Free Asgard is copyright Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all related characters are copyright Marvel Comics. Any other characters that appear on the show are copyright their respective copyright holders. We don't own any of this as much as we'd like to. The stories covered on this podcast are for entertainment, educational, and review purposes only. If you like what you've heard on today's program, please tell your friends, drop an iTunes review, or join our Facebook group. Music from Eden, The Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, is copyright Mott's Vent and is used with permission because Mott's is simply awesome. Radio Free Asgard should not be downloaded while pregnant, nursing, or operating heavy machinery, and we are not responsible for any damages incurred as the result of this misuse. Side effects may include being lost in a cave and finding a magical hammer, and falling in love with Jane Foster. Once again, thank you for listening to Radio Free Asgard.